Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. You're listening to Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. Before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports In Depth.
And if I may say that the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good Doc.
We're going to a quick prayer for you, as we've got Lady A here for a short time. John Carter, train leaders in prayer. Simply, dear Lord, thank you for another day. More importantly, have your will, have your way. Bless Willie Mays on his birthday today, and Iran the Blade Barkley. Without further ado, all honor and glory to you, the one and only true God. In the name of your darling son, our Lord and Savior, Christ. Amen. Lady A, getting to you right away. I know you got to run. You talked about the Canelo fight, and, you know, you're a genius, and you don't want to admit it, but it's there. And you talked about the adjustments that were made and still the ability of Canelo to handle the adjustments that were made against him.
Yeah, in watching the fight, and I broke it down from the first half, obviously rounds 1 through 6, it looked like the first few rounds, obviously, to, as a fighter, try to figure the other fighter out. So I gave the first 3 rounds. I was like, you know what? Danny Jacobs seemed to just be trying to feel him out. And likewise, the same with Canelo. But I thought that once 3 to 6 got in play, Canelo started kind of, you know, making adjustments, starting to take control, starting to get, you know, into the fight. I saw, which Danny has done before, switching to southpaw, and Sergio Mora alluded to it in the commentary that he had done that a few times when he fought him. And if you go back into the fight with him and Sergio Mora, you do see that he was switching southpaw. And it's not unusual. I mean, if you go back and look at Hagler did that a lot. We were switching from southpaw to orthodox. But one of the things in the fight that I saw, and we've talked about a lot on the show, is how Canelo has been able to work on those areas in boxing where before they were questionable, which was the head movement, being able to cut off the ring, being able to move forward and make adjustments in the ring. All those things, it seems like he's kind of worked on and been able to add into his fight game. And I saw a lot of those changes now when I saw this fight. Now, I give kudos to his trainer, Andre, because he saw that whatever was being done was not working. So switching off and trying to make some changes throughout the fight to try to get Danny to get up and try to take advantage of some of the things maybe that they had worked on, you know, to try to solidify something in the ring. However, I mean, it was obvious Canelo was just a better fighter that night. I think that, again, and you and I had just talked about this previously, which was maybe, you know, another strategy should have been implemented where it's like, okay, we tried this from 1 through 6, so maybe rounds 1 through 8, and here come the later rounds. Maybe let's try to fight him on the inside. Now, you know, obviously the argument is going to be, oh, well, Lady A, you're crazy. But obviously if nothing at that point was working that you were trying, it might have been better for them to maybe try to feel out and see, well, let's try to see if we work on the inside, how that's going to work. And, of course, you know, the response is going to be, well, you know, Canelo's the kind of guy that wants to have that kind of fight. Well, you know, at that point, if Danny wants to try to win a fight, maybe he needed to do something like that and change it up a little bit, because obviously whatever he was doing was not working. So that, those are just a couple of things that I saw. I saw that Canelo was cutting off the ring. I saw that he had a little bit better head movement than he had in the past. So I think his fight game has improved significantly. And I think the last fight with Triple G, where they started seeing him coming forward more, is a testament to him actually doing those things.
Now, looking at that, could this Canelo that we saw Saturday had a chance to beat Mayweather?
I don't think he would have beat him, but I think it would have been a better fight. Now, here's the deal. People fail to realize Danny could crack, meaning he'll hit you and you go down. Danny's got a lot of KOs. So I think it was in the later rounds where he hit him with a shot. And Canelo's got a beard. He could take a shot. You know, he's definitely no Amir Khan. You know, I mean, he doesn't have a glass jaw. You know, if you hit him, he could take a shot. So just going back to what we were saying, these are all different things I think you got to look at. And you know me, Doc, I've never really been a huge Canelo fan. You know that, you know. But looking at some of the things that he's added to his fight game, you definitely could see some of the improvements. Because you and I talked about, I definitely did not think he beat Lara. Lara boxed him and beat him. Mayweather beat him boxing him. So there have been some fights that we've looked at where we've been like, did he really wipe the floor with the guy? No, he didn't. I mean, even Trout, we were like, I thought it was a draw. Even Teddy Atlas said that he felt like Lara beat Canelo and they gave him that fight. You know, so there have been a few fights that I think that are questionable that he won. Now, again, going back to Mayweather, with the Mayweather fight, it was apparent that he still needed, to work on some of his not Mayweather, I'm talking about Canelo. It was apparent that he needed to work on some of the other things. But I think he's done those things now, and he's just obviously looks like a better fighter, But the blueprint is there. And I think if you have the speed, you have the hand speed, and you can box him and you can take him out of his rhythm, he is beatable. It's not that he's unbeatable. But again, like I said, I think you started to see a little bit more of those qualities in this fight and some of the things that he was able to make adjustments in his fight game. So.
Okay. I know you got to run. So just thanks a lot for that synopsis. Do we get a rematch? Does this lean toward Jacobs Canelo 2? What's happening? Does this push Triple G further out of the...
I think you will see Danny Triple G quicker than we'll see Danny and Canelo. I don't think Danny, I love Danny and whatever, but I don't think Danny in this fight was able to establish himself the way he did. I mean, I think he could go back, if he goes back with Dre and they go back to the gym, and they're able to, work on a new plan. And maybe if he fights the next 2-3 fights and he's able to show, hey, listen, I made some of these changes, then maybe he can step up and fight Canelo. But I don't think he showed enough to warrant him saying, I want another fight.
Your reaction to Abel Sanchez and Triple G breaking up?
I was surprised. But I think that, knowing that he got that draw the first time with Canelo and knowing that he lost the second time, I think probably he decided, he needed a change. Again, I don't know all the specifics, so I can't, say 100%. But when I heard that, I was somewhat surprised because he'd been with Abel for so long and had done well with him. Let's see what Jonathan Banks does with him. It's not like Jonathan Banks is a pushover. He has worked with the Klitschko's before. Let's see what he's able to do and what changes he's going to be able to implement that may be helpful for Triple G.
Do you see Kovalev, our man Kovalev won title back with Buddy McGirt. Is that a good union? Is that going to be a good marriage?
Love Doc, I don't know if I'm biased, but you know how much I love me some. Love me some Buddy McGirt. Just the fact that he was able to listen, if you go back and you see what he was able to do with Gotti, I don't think Gotti would have lasted in a fight game as long as he had. Had Buddy not been able to take him and show him another style of fighting, you know, and had been able to preserve, you know, him and show him, you know, some of the things he needed to do in the ring and make those adjustments, you know, that he needed to make. So, you know, I love Buddy. I think this is a good fit for Kovalev. You know, let's see how our boy does in his next fight.
Yeah.
I think it's great. I think it's a great match. As a matter of fact, I think it should have happened sooner.
You know, also, we want to salute Buddy once again. He's one of the inductees this year into the Boxing Hall of Fame. We're looking to be up there to see him. Okay, Lady, we talked about that, the 12 love. A shame, though, that Big Daddy Kane tested positive for some sort of substance, so he's not going to be fighting for the title. And Joshua, June 1st, will fight a different opponent. Unfortunately, it's not going to be Wilder. Do we see that fight happening soon, or what's with the bickering? You know, Mark Breland says it's Eddie Hearn. Eddie Hearn says it's Wilder's camp. What's your take on that before I let you go?
You know, you and I have talked about the complexity of boxing, you know, and we've talked a little bit about matchmaking. It'll happen. I think things will happen eventually, you know. But, you know, sometimes some of these things come up, you know, whether it's, you know, contractual or money or – but I think we will see the fight eventually because the fans are going to want to see it. And guess what? What does this do? If we're talking about it, what does it do? It makes people want to see it more, right? So, you know, for the longest, what was the big thing? I mean, look, you know, we talked about Canelo Triple G, and that fight should have happened way before it actually the fight date happened. You know, what did they do? They waited 2 years, 3 years, right? So,
What's happening with the welterweight scene real quick? We got the Errol Spence. You had the Khan fight a couple of weeks in the guard. It looked like that we're not going to get Spence and Crawford anytime soon. So maybe Spence will have to clean up the rest of the division. You've got Danny Garcia.
You've got
Keith Thurman.
Pacquiao.
I think that's a good fight. That's a good fight in the sense of it's a marquee. It's a marquee fight. For Spence, you know, Spence doesn't have a marquee name. Outstanding fight, the best fight in the world, probably Pacquiao. But he fights Pacquiao. It's a good notch in his belt, but it gives him marquee exposure, I think, Lady A.
Well, I mean, but Pacquiao's got to get through Thurman. Good luck with that one. It's not going to be an easy fight for him.
So what do we do? We do Spence, Danny Garcia.
You know what fight I would like to see?
What?
I think Garcia Spence would be good, but I really would like to see him fight our boy Sean Porter.
Well, you know what? I think that's the fight that's going to come about sooner, too. Sean Porter, Errol Spence, two guys that we love them bothly. Dearly, good fight. And you know what? That's the fight, and that's a bit of marquee fight. Leaving Danny.
You know what?
See it. Go ahead, Lady.
I'm sorry, Doc. You know what I was going to say is, you know, we're looking at now such a loaded welterweight division.
Yes.
I think one of the fights now that I would like to see is the one coming up with Hurd and Williams, Julian Williams. That fight's coming up next week. I mean, that's going to be a good fight. That's going to be a really good fight. I'd like to see that one, you know. I think this summer we're going to have some really good fights. But, again, you know, let's see what the promoters put together. I thought it was interesting that Spence said that, you know, that Golden Boy doesn't know how to treat his black fighters. That was an interesting comment. I would have liked to have had a further conversation with him about that. Like what talk a little more in depth about what was the reason behind that comment.
Hold on a minute. Aaron Blade, happy birthday to you, man. Yeah, Blake, you got 2 minutes? Can you call my show real quick? Yeah, just give me two. I just need you on for 2 minutes. Write the number down, call on real quick and say hello to us. So happy birthday to you. Okay. I forgot today, ladies. Today also is Irene Barkley's birthday.
Oh, okay, so good.
Yeah, yes. Yeah,
so all
on
right
the show
then,
real quick.
Doc. So I'm gonna head out. All right. So
lady, give me 5 more minutes, lady. Give me 5 more. Ready, Blade? Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. You know what? Okay, I'll get you back on the 9th then. You busy? You got a minute today? Can you call us real quick? Oh, okay, later. All right, 10-4. Talk to you tonight. Bye, baby. Okay. My mistake, lady. I was thinking that today was Irene Barkley's birthday, but it's the 9th, so my mistake. So we'll get him on the 9th. Okay, lady, you got to run. The best fighter in the world, pound for pound, Errol Spence?
The best, say again?
The best fighter in the world right now, pound for pound, Errol Spence.
You know me, Doc. I don't make those kind of comments. I tell you all the time. I never make those kind of comments.
Well, is he the best welterweight?
I can't even say that. I mean, because I can't even say that. Like I said, it's such a loaded division right now. I can't even really say best welterweight. I mean, you know, a lot of people like Crawford. You know, they think pound for pound, he's the best. I can't even make that kind of comment. I'm not going to put myself out there like that. I will say, like I said earlier, it is a loaded division and packed with talent. Listen, anyone who does not take my two guys, Thurman and Porter, seriously, they better look again. Those two guys.
No more need to be said. The first lady of the sweet science, the greatest of all time, Lady A, she's got to be on her way. Lady A, we love you. We thank you. We'll talk to you in a couple more days, girl.
All right. Take care, Doc. All right. But be safe.
Lady A. Bye. Lady of the sweet science, Lady A, joined us. I thought Irene Barkley's birthday was today. I found it the 9th, so we corrected that. Tiger Woods is at the White House today. Highest medal that can be awarded to a civilian, given to him by the president. Great, great win there on Palm Sunday. Today, on Willie Mays' birthday, Prince Harry and his lovely wife had a boy today. We'll try to get the name for you real quick in the wait before we leave the show. A little music for you, though, as we always do with hold on. The opening team. Don't move. Just thought you'd like to hear your music. You know, our last 3 shows for today were all from Brazil. Beleza and Paulo Caxias. Today, back in New York City, happy birthday to Willie Mays, Babe Barkley. And our closing theme, Marvin Gaye has this to say before we go on our way. After saying, Willie Mays, happy birthday.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time
when the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
It fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
When we can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
Live for life.
Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
You see, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want.
314, who's calling in with us today? That 314 number, who's that?
I want to talk about Willie Mays.
Hold on a second, don't move then. Don't move.
Pardon me?
Said, don't move, hold tight. Okay, let's talk about Willie Mays. Greatest baseball player that ever played the game of baseball.
Let me tell you something. You ain't said but a little bit. Willie Mays was what you call something else.
You know, Jack Klugman did a show once. He said he's the only thing that the rich promised the poor and paid off on.
You know, when I was a kid, I used to go to the library. I started playing baseball very young. My grandson, he plays for LSU now, the travel team. But anyway, it's getting back to
with
me. Okay, this is Pianki, P-I-A-N-K-I.
Wait,
I grew up in St. Louis.
P-I-A-N-K-I.
Mm-hmm. And I used to go to the library, and I read up on this man. And the things I could read, and I just couldn't, you know, I just fell in love with him. So I played ball, I played center field, of course. They started me off at second base. My arm was so strong, they had to put me in the outfield because I'd hurt people's hands when I threw the ball at first, playing second. So they used to play down at the old Busch Stadium. You know the story you talk about when Babe Ruth hit the ball out the park and went across the street and broke out the window in the car dealership?
Go ahead.
You ever hear that story? Yeah, that's
not
that,
heard that.
That's
I heard
stadium.
That,
Yeah, that story exists, and that stadium did exist at that time. So what I used to do, we caught the bus then. I used to catch the Page and Wellston bus at up there on Page and Blackstone. And see, my grandfather didn't know I was doing this. Of course, it wasn't no big thing. Bus fare wasn't that much. But I could catch the bus and go down to Washington and Grand and get off. In order for me to have money to get back home, I didn't transfer or catch the bus. I needed to go north to the ballpark. So I just got off, and I must have ran about 8 or 10 blocks to get to the ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, it's Herbert Hoover's boys' club sit there now. And I used to always do it when Mays Giants was in town and Marischal was pitching against Bob Gibson. And I didn't have money to go into the park, but I could peek through the fence. And I peeked through the outside fence, and all I would see is the back of his uniform, number 24. On his right side, you had Matty Alou, who was playing center or left field. Then on his left side, playing right field, was Jesus Alou.
Yeah, yeah, the Alou brothers. They all played on the same. Matty, Felipe, and Jesus all played for the Giants. And all played on the same team.
Yes, and Jesus used to have the twitch in his neck, you know, when he comes
right,
to bat.
Right, right.
So, yes, that's how I used to get the chance to get up close to him and see him. And I remember the game that he played, that the Giants was playing. I forget who it was playing. Anyway, it was Marischal and Juan Spahn was pitching.
Yeah, I'll never forget that game. I talk about that game all the time. Now, your spelling is P-I-A-N-L-I-E?
K-I. P-I-A-N-K-I.
Oh, okay. I got to make sure I get it. Okay. P-I-A-N-K-I. Now, that game you're talking about,
that was
I remember
in,
because
New York.
I'll never forget that. I talk about Doc Stanley Sports, the Block Talk Radio, Trust and Guard Network. We had Lady A with us. Now I got man Petit. George, can I pronounce your name again one more time?
Bianchi.
Bianchi from St. Louis. As we, special edition here, we're going to be running soon. Willie Mays. I remember that game because, Willie Mays was just first guy to hit over 500 home runs. 500 doubles, get 3,000 base hits. Only home run hitter to lead the league and stole bases 4 straight years in a row. He did 40-40, but he had 30 home runs and 42 stolen bases in 154-game schedule. 162 hitter did it. I used to get excited because they would be the first team to come. They would come in New York on a Friday. I remember going to see the 23-inning game where he played shortstop. Orlando Cepeda hit into a triple play, and Gaylord Perry came in and pitched 10 innings. But the game you're talking about, I remember because, listen to the game. And okay, Bob Murphy here with the out-of-town scoreboard. We'll go out there, San Francisco, Spahn against Marischal, 3-0, and then 3 innings. And you go out-of-town scoreboard again. They're in the 7th inning, it's still 0-0, Marischal, Spahn. Hey, they're in the 11th inning, it's still nothing. And then, okay, it's all over. In the bottom of the 16th inning, Willie Mays, this is just a home run of Juan Spahn, Juan Marischal and the Giants beat the Braves 1-0.
Yeah, in the bottom
and
of the
ironic,
16th inning.
16
you know
innings,
what,
and I remember
Marischal
that because
Marischal told Willie, Willie, I don't know. But he said that he looked out at Juan Spahn. I think Juan Spahn was either in his late 30s or maybe he might have been 40. He said,
he was in his 40s.
He says, no way I'm going to let this old man outpitch me.
Oh, yeah.
Then he came in and he told Willie, he said, Willie, I don't know. And Willie looked at Marischal and he said, I tell you what, let me see what I can do.
And I remember talking to Marischal about that. Marischal said he threw 247 pitches that day. 227 pitches, and I think about that. If you look at the fact that he threw 227, And he threw 8 warm-up pitches for 16. He threw over 300 pitches that day. Two of the greatest pitchers that ever lived, Juan Marichal, won 243 games, completed 244 games, won 20 games 6 years out of 7, 4 years in a row. Warren Spahn, the most wins by left-handed pitcher, 363. In fact, Warren Spahn was the man that Willie Mays not only got his first hit off, but his first home run off. Back in the Polo Grounds, the great Warren Spahn.
He went like 22
for nothing. You talk about Willie Mays, it's just people forget. You know, Willie Mays, hey, I tell people, had Mays not played in Candlestick Park, it had to be at least 10 balls a year that Willie Mays hit that went out any other ballpark. So, you know, that's 13 years. You had 130 more home runs at a 660. That's 790. That's 790 right there. The 2 years in the military, Willie Mays hits over 800 home runs. But, you know, what was befuddling to me, Mays won 12 straight gold gloves. The year that he didn't win the gold glove, Pete Rose won a gold glove. And I'm thinking, you know, how could Pete Rose ever win a gold glove over Willie Mays in any way, shape, or form? You know, him and Clemente have the record for most gold gloves by an outfielder, 12 in a row. I don't know how Mays didn't win 13 in a row, but, you know, it's been a pleasure to have you join. I have your number here, so I'm going to have you
join. Yeah, I wish I had to call a little bit earlier because you're probably getting ready to go off. But,
yeah, don't worry. Yeah, but
I
usually don't do a Monday show, but I said let me do a Monday tribute to Willie Mays. Willie's got to be about 86, I believe, today. Let me double-check, try to find his exact age real quickly before we go.
Did you know that when he was in the farm team, when they were doing the bomb strong, he only got paid what, about $240 a month at that time?
Oh yeah.
If Mays was coming
up back then, that was big money back then.
Yes, he was coming up today, they would be $1 billion ball players.
Now, I'm gonna tell you something, man. I remember. Let me see again today. Willie Mays, say hey, kid. Willie, 22 season. Willie was born. I'm trying to get his when he was born so I can get his exact age today. We know he's got, well, some of the stats, 12-time Gold Glove winner, 1954 world champion, 1951 rookie of the year, 660 career home runs, 1979 Hall of Fame inductee, 4-time National League stolen base leader. Today is his 88th birthday. That's what I want, his 88th birthday. And
I hope he lives another 20 years. I really do, because he deserves it.
22 years in a bit, you know, just the greatest player to ever play, from an all round standpoint. You know, I asked Lee DeRocher one time, and we were at an affair. I said, Mr. DeRocher, if Willie Mays is around today, how much would he be worth? He said, you couldn't fill a ballpark full of money. So I re-asked. So, but Mr. DeRocher, he said, didn't you hear me? You couldn't fill a ballpark full of money. You know, I mean, Todd Zeal said one thing, I remember, he said, you know, it doesn't make any sense in anybody be making $14 million more than Willie Mays. Number 24, I asked Willie one time, too. I said, did you ever notice that your number 42 was Jackie, your number 24 was Jackie Robinson's number backwards?
Number backwards,
and he said, no, and he had a great line. He said, you know, every time I reach into my pocket, I think about Jackie Robinson. You know, him and Jackie was supposed to play. They traded Jackie to the Giants. But Stoneham didn't get a chance to have Jackie play because O'Malley knew that Jackie would not go to the Giants. So Jackie retired in 1956. He was going to go to 1957. He was going to go to the Giants. You had Willie Mays and Jackie Robinson playing on the same team. But wow, man!
They played the All Star game,
man, it's really delightful.
Look at the
All Star
game. Look at the All Star game. Look how the National League was so far out ahead of the American League.
Oh, well, there's no question.
In the All-Star
I believe with Ted Williams said the All-Star game was made for Willie Mays. You know, Willie Mays the most hits, tied with Stan Musial, the most All-Star games played. I mean, the one that we know what happened with the All-Star game was that the National League took the black player first, realized the black player could be successful, and that was the difference in the National League and the American League. I mean, if you look from 1949 to 1969, the 20-year period in which Jackie Robinson was the first winner of the National League Award by a black player. He was the first ever Rookie of the Year winner. But from 1949 to 1969, that 20-year period, you only had 4 white guys who won the award. Colfax in 63, Boyer in 64.
Now, that was another pitcher that was something else, too.
1950, And I'm trying to figure who else won it in 50. No, because Campy won it 51, 53, 55. Mage won it in 54. Newcomb won it in 56. Aaron won it in 57. Banks won it in 58, 59. Clemente actually should have won it in 60, but Grote got it. Okay, that's the four guys. Kanowski
you
from
remember,
the Phillies, Grote.
You remember the 1979 World Series with the Pittsburgh Pirates?
Yeah. We
are
family.
They field an all-black team.
Now, that the first all-black team fielded was by Danny Maytor. On the mound was Doc Ellis, Manny Sanguin behind the plate. Started at first base. Cash at second. Jack Hernandez at shortstop. Jose Pagan at third. Gene Kleins in left field. Al Oliver in center field. The greatest right fielder to ever live. Roberto Clemente in right field.
Roberto Clemente, yes.
Number 21. That was the first all-black.
He had an arm that was out of this world.
I read something today where Vince Scully said that Clemente would pick up the ball in Pennsylvania and throw at the guy at home plate in New York City.
You're right. I tell you what, when he threw the ball, you'd go outside and protect your windows no matter where you was in the corner in the country.
Clemente used to throw guys out at first base. You know, they'd be at the – here's the pitch, a line drive to right field. Clemente, he's out at first base. The greatest outfielder of all time, in my opinion. Hank Aaron in left field, Willie Mays in center field, Roberto Clemente in right field. Everybody there is a lifetime 300-hitter. Everybody there got 3,000 hits, and they'll if we can play. We've got to close the show. Your closing thoughts on Willie Mays?
He was the greatest.
Bar none. As I always say, the greatest of all time. I've got your number here. I'm going to call you. We're going to do a Sunday show. I got the 314. Man, you have made our day here at Sports In Depth, man. Talk to some people about the show. To have you join in, and especially on this is Willie Mays' 88th birthday, the birthday of the great Willie Mays. This is a month of a lot of great athletes. Sue Ray Robinson's birthday is on the 3rd. Willie Mays' birthday is today, okay? Sugar Ray Leonard's birthday is on the 17th. Joe Lewis, Stevie Wonder's birthday is on the 13th. Mark Williams on the 11th. Miles Davis is on the 24th, I believe. So you got to, and it was Miles Davis who was the guy that told Ray Robinson, hey, Ray, you got to hang it up. But May 6th, I mean, you just can't. I don't understand how Willie Mays and going unanimous at the Hall of Fame. Don't understand how anybody's baseball could be more valuable than Willie Mays. But brother, I can't tell you the joy you brought us here at Sports In Depth on Blog Talk Radio on the Tristan Garvey Network to join us today to talk about Willie Mays. I'm going to make sure you have. I have your number, so I'm going to send you my email address. I'll make sure I email a copy of the show to you so you have a copy of the show also for yourself.
Well, this is a desk phone. Let me give you – you call this number after I get off the air and I give you my cell phone, then you can send me your email.
Yeah, okay, I'll call this number and get your cell phone number. Okay. All right, listen.
Okay.
Thanks a lot for joining us. Willie Mays, greatest player ever played a game.
Bye-bye.
And we say happy 88th birthday to Willie Howard Mays Jr., unquestionably, unequivocally, the greatest player ever played the game. Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth, Blog Talk Radio, Trust in God Radio Network. I think we got to be apropos to do this real quick before Larry takes us off. But we got to say this to him. Man, that gentleman was really a delight. You know, today is Willie Mays' birthday. Willie Mays is 88 today. Make sure we make those notations here. Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth, Blog Talk Radio, and Trust in God Radio Network. Happy birthday, Willie Mays. You are the greatest ever played a game. Happy birthday, Willie Mays. Since left the game, has not been the same. Happy birthday, Willie Mays. I'll say this, and I say it true. Willie Mays, how much I've always and will love you. Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth, Blog Talk Radio, and Trust in God. I remember coming out of the locker room one time with my beloved Julius Erving and said, Julius, I love you. Julius looked down at me and said, Mel, you know you don't love nobody better than you love Willie. Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth, Blog Talk Radio, and the Trust in God Radio Network. Larry Hardesty. Think about that story you tell me too, Larry, but it's time for you to close the show off with Mr. Hardesty, please. Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth, Blog Talk Radio, and the Trust in God Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding. But I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night. And we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.